Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for this church family and being able to be gathered together in this place this morning. Lord, coming before you with just joy and encouragement in our hearts and knowing, Lord, that you love us, you care for us, you guide us each and every day in our lives. And Lord, I pray this morning now as we go to your word, Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts, that you would open our minds and our ears, Lord, to open our lives to your word and your truth. Lord, I pray as Lord, you speak these words, that you would speak through me, and Lord, that we could receive the message you have for us today as your church. Lord, we thank you and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, if you've got your Bibles. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 8. Paul writing here to the Romans, as we've been reading here in the last couple of weeks, is a reminder of some of the direction that we see from the Word of God, and specifically been talking about some of the description of sin and some of the struggle of sin in our life and what it might look like just to truly think about in the days as we're approaching the opportunity to celebrate Easter, is thinking about what Jesus really did for us at the cross, what we celebrate in the resurrection of Christ. And thinking specifically in our lives this morning as we talk about some of these things, verse number 1 of chapter 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We consider today one of the key things that we can celebrate in the life of the church today. I asked you earlier to share with each other some of the things that you're grateful for. Hopefully this morning when you think about your life, today that you can say that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and knowing today that there is no greater thing to be encouraged in and to know and to be thankful for than to know that there's a God that loved us enough to send His one and only Son for each and every one of us. To know that we have opportunity this morning to have that kind of a relationship. To know, as Paul writes in this first verse here, that we understand that there's not a condemnation for those of us that come into that relationship with Jesus, which means we have a promise of knowing that we don't have to be separated from God for eternity. That's that great joy in knowing that we're not condemned for the sin that we have. Now, we think about today being condemned of certain things as an evidence that we've done something in our life, and the evidence is there to prove it, and that there's some sort of penalty for that sin, right? That's what condemnation really means. Well, we recognize today that Jesus Christ took on the penalty of our sin for you and I at the cross, and for every other person in this world today. And we talk about this morning just the struggle that is going on around us in the world that we live in today, and all of the great floods of information that are being given to people today and causing thoughts and worries and fears. We recognize today that it is in the instance of a virus right now, and tomorrow it could be something totally different. And we know that in days ahead it's going to be something different. It's always something there. If we chose to live in fear, we could do that every single day. But the challenge for the church today is to recognize that we have been freed from all of those challenges and struggles and difficulty when we learn to live in the Savior that we say lives in our life. He says, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now here's the hard part. What does it really mean to be in Christ, right? Well, we recognize if we've accepted Him as our Lord and our Savior, then we are in Him and He is in us, the Bible says. Because the minute we asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life, the Holy Spirit moved in. That means He took residence in our life. We now have relationship and fellowship with Him. He says, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I want you to consider this morning, what does it really mean to walk after the Spirit? What does it mean in our lives as Christians to say that we are walking after the Holy Spirit, walking in the direction of God, walking in relationship with the Holy Spirit in our lives? And we have to really come to the very basic understanding this morning that we cannot walk in the Spirit and walk in the things of this world. We cannot walk in the Holy Spirit and say that we're walking in relationship with Jesus Christ and still look like the rest of the world looks like. That definition of a walking in the Spirit has to mean that we are led of the Spirit to do certain things and say certain things and go certain places and do certain things in our lives that maybe others are not led to do. For each and every one of you, I believe wholeheartedly you were led of the Spirit to be here this morning, or you wouldn't be here. That is plain and simple. You can make a decision in your mind that says we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But there are always situations that come up in our lives today that might cause us to think differently. Right? There are things that come up. If you've ever stopped to think about this, probably every one of you have had this. Maybe you even had it this morning. You ever had one of those Sundays when everything just fell apart? You intended on being in church and everything was going backwards and sideways and you're thinking, do I really need to be there? I could really just stop today. Maybe you're going to be late. I'll give you one of those examples that happened to me this morning. I worked on my own personal pickup this week, late one night after work. put some new brakes on the back end. Found out I almost had no brake left on the back pads of my pickup. So I decided to work on it the other night. I got to Rocky Ford this morning, stopped at the post office, and my truck was smoking. There's this ball of smoke just billowing out the rear end of my pickup, and I'm thinking, whoa, that was close. I crossed the street with a fire truck that was responding to a call over there at a house in Rocky Ford, and I thought, oh man, I'm going to be the other dummy that has to go over there and say, hey, could you come over here and put my truck out? No, it's on fire. I got over to Cornerstone, and it's still rolling out with smoke. And I'm thinking, man, this is going to be bad. I got here back to Fowler, and it was fine. I broke the brakes in, evidently. I don't know. I put them on too tight. I don't know what happened. I know the Lord took care of me. I got to thinking all the way back here, man, this is going to be terrible if I got to call Jenna and tell him, hey, somebody's going to have to come get me because my truck's died out somewhere between Rocky Ford and Manzanola, and it was going to be bad. And I thought, there's all these little obstacles that we could be overcome with, things that we could say are going to interfere in our walk and relationship with the Lord, things that interfere with us just simply being in the house of worship. And if you haven't realized in the last couple of days, there are a lot of things being thrown at the church today that says, don't worry about this, don't go here, don't do that. Those are things that are being thrown at the church today. I believe it 100%. It's a tactic of the devil that is being used right here in our Arkansas Valley right now to keep people out. What have we been praying for? For weeks, we've been praying that God would work and bring people into the church so that they might hear the word of God, that they might be saved, that we might have an opportunity to baptize them in a couple of weeks. The devil is at work in our world every single day. And whether we recognize it or not in our hearts and our lives today in the church, many a times it creeps into our life, that situations, those struggles, those difficulties, worries and fears that start to cause situations in our life that doubt the things that God is doing. We need to understand this morning, and I think from the Word of God, He says here that we would walk in the things of the Spirit. That we would know that even in the instances of our life when it might be challenging, even when it might mean I have to come to a place of humility in my life and recognize that everything I've been doing to this point maybe even isn't right. Is it truly in line with the Word of God? Am I doing what God has asked me to do? Am I searching out that plan? He says in verse 2 of this chapter, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a freedom that comes because of Jesus Christ. There's a freedom and an opportunity in the life of the church today that we stand strong on relationship with the Heavenly Father no matter what goes on around us. He says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now He speaks again specifically as we've been reading through Romans, we find out this reference to the law because it was a struggle. It was a great struggle in the Roman church for them to continue to come to this place of recognizing the law versus relationship with Jesus Christ. And I would go out on a limb and say many a times in the church today that it's the same struggle. We're battling with the law. We're battling with rituals and routines and regulations in our life and not really living in the obedience of the things of God. He says, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful men, with that sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He took care of that sin. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says the evidence of that law. Now you consider this morning some of the things that God has given to us in His Word. Direction for the church today. And we need to study the Word of God. We need to understand the laws and the direction of the Word of God, but that we walk in the Spirit, knowing that the Holy Spirit is leading us. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I wonder this morning, in your heart and your life today, what does it really mean to mind the things of the Spirit? Do we gauge in our lives as Christians this morning, do we gauge everything that we do in our life today based off of the Holy Spirit's leading in our life? Do you go to work on a daily basis with the Holy Spirit being your guide? Is the Holy Spirit the focus of your life when you go to work? For most Christians today, I would say probably we have a switch that we flip on and off. It's just who we are. It's how we operate in our human nature. I'm as guilty as everybody. I turn on this switch, I go to this place and that place, and I do what I do here and I do what I do there, and hopefully include some of Christ in the mix of those things. It's not how God intended the church to live. God's purpose for the church today is to live in the Spirit in every place that we go. In every situation, in every attitude, in every conversation, that we would not be fearful to speak of the things of the Holy Spirit. That we would not be fearful to speak of the things of God in relationship to the Lord and how He relates in our life. That it would be priority for us that our conversation would be about Christ. You'll consider today, and just the instance we've been talking about this morning, that is fresh on everybody's mind. If we were to speak of this virus in the terms of the Holy Spirit, how would it change people's opinions? How to change people's thoughts? If we were to have a conversation that says, you know what, God is still in control of these things. We understand that the Holy Spirit is still living in our life, and there are going to be days and times when we get sick. Read the Word of God. People get sick. If you didn't know this morning what the Bible says about people that are sick, you know what the Scripture says? Bring the sick to the elders in the church and let them pray for them. Don't close the doors and put it on the internet. Says, bring the sick to the church. Who are the sick? It doesn't matter what kind of virus it is. Sickness is anything that is in contradiction to the Word and to the will of God. We need to bring the sick to the church and love them and pray for them and encourage them and strengthen them and trust God to do what He says. That's part of our conversation and living in the Holy Spirit, that we would help others to know the truth of Jesus Christ and what it means to walk in the Spirit. And that's what He says in verse 4, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, that the Word and the description of the Word of God might be fulfilled in us. You ever think about in your life this morning that God's desire for you, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, is to fulfill His Word through your life? That you would walk daily, that the things that God wants to see happen and take place in this world today, that the will of our Heavenly Father is that none should perish, the Bible says, right? Plain and simple. We've studied that before. The will of God is that every person in this world would come to saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We get into this mindset in our hearts today as Christians that everything that we say and do, every action and attitude of our life, the way we live our lives at home, the way we live our lives at work, the way we live our lives at church, and anywhere else we may go, represent the same Jesus Christ that we say lives in our heart. That our conversation reflects those things. That we fulfill the law of Christ. So He says, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we've talked multiple times about what does it really look like to walk in the Holy Spirit. What does it look like to have a Christian walk? Many a times that's a term that's used in the church, right? That we're walking the walk and we're talking the talk. And many of us are really good at talking the talk, but not really walking the walk that God's called us to. We can say a lot of good things. And everybody knows that. Everybody's probably, if you'd be willing to admit it this morning, have said some things that you had really good intentions, right? You say some really good things. You encourage some people. We do this, we do that. But really, honestly, the thing that makes the difference is if we follow through with what we said, right? You tell somebody you're going to be somewhere at a certain time and you don't show up for 5 hours, what happens? They start to consider, man, what he said doesn't really matter, right? He said this, but he did this. And I want to challenge your heart this morning to consider that many a times in the church, that's the way we're living. We say one thing because the Bible says so, but we do something totally different. It's not hard to understand why the world looks at the church as being hypocritical. That's the life we live. But Paul's challenge to the Romans here is that we would walk after the Holy Spirit, that we would walk in the things of the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, in verse 5 as he says, mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. All right, we consider, what are the things of the Spirit? Scripture gives us some definition of the fruits of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit, right? The evidence that there is a Holy Spirit living in us. We have these things in our life. The direction of the Word of God is there for us. But are we walking after the Spirit? Those that are in the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. He says in verse number 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is to be in the mindset of the world today. And he says very specifically, what does it mean? That it's leading to death. To be carnally minded leads us to that point of death and understanding today that everything in this world is coming to that end, right? There's an end coming for everything. Everything that we see today, for our lives, individually, for our families, for our friends, for the world that we live in today, the Bible is very clear about it. If you read your Bible in its entirety, you find out someday this world is going to end, right? God has an intention for that. God has a plan for that. He's given it to us in His Word. He's given us description of those things. And if God has an end for those things, and we recognize, what does He see here? That picture is death. But for us that walk in the Spirit, He says, we should have life and we should have peace. We don't really, honestly, today, in the heart and the life of the church, we really don't even understand most of the time what God intended for our life. I can't tell you how many countless times I've visited with people that are laying on their deathbed saying, I wished. Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? find people in a difficult, critical situation in their life when maybe they're faced with something, and maybe it's not a life-threatening situation. Maybe they're just in a situation today where they can't do what they've always done. Then they began to find out, man, I can't do what I've always done, and I thought I could, and now I'm in this situation, and we're faced with this reality that there's something bigger than us, and if you didn't recognize it this morning, that something is God. And as the church, that ought to be the first recognition in our life, that God is bigger than anything we could dream up. Any kind of plan that we could create in our life today, any direction that you're moving in your life today, God is bigger than those things. And His plan for you as a follower of Christ is bigger than you could imagine. God wants to use each and every one of you today. I believe it without a doubt in my mind. God wants to use you as a follower of Christ to do things that you can't even imagine. He wants to use you in conversations. He wants to use you in affecting the hearts and lives of your friends, your family, your coworkers, the strangers on the street, the people in the community you're around. All of these areas in our life today, God has a direction for us. It's in the condition of our heart. He says if we're carnally minded, means that we're living in the things of this world. That carnality is an indication of the things that are dying. There's a difference in the spiritual things, right? And he talks about life. What is the world looking for today? We want to live, right? I mean, how many times do you have conversation with people and that's what everything they're doing in their life today is just to have the kind of life they want to live, right? They work the job they do so they can make the money they want. We happened to be out of town yesterday and we were driving down the street. And you all know I have this fetish with vehicles. We're driving down this street. And man, here is, from a distance, the fanciest car I've seen in a really long time. I'm thinking, man, that sports car is, that thing is pretty amazing. And my boys, of course, dove in right in the conversation, started naming off, what is this car? Because I didn't know it from a distance. I didn't know exactly what it was. So, knowing me, you'd all know, I had to turn around and drive back and see what this car was. I drove three blocks out of the way to see what this car was. And then when we got driving down the road later, I told Jed, get on your phone and look up how much that car cost. He said, Dad, how much do you think it costs? I said, it's a minimum of $150,000. I'm just guessing. I said, I know what the car is now. I said, guaranteed, it's not a brand new car. It wasn't brand new by any means, but it was fairly new. $150,000. Guess what? He got on the internet, you know what it said? $250,000 with an MSRP of $325,000. This guy's cruising it around down the street, and I'm thinking, man, what could God do with $325,000? We could build a church building, man, right? We could build a church building that we're wondering if we can even afford $150,000. And this guy's driving it around on the street. It's tires. It's rubber and metal and mostly plastic. $325,000 to be carnally minded. It drives our life today. But what could God do in the faithful heart of a follower of Jesus Christ? I'm not saying if you got a $325,000 car that you're wrong. If God gave it to you and you're using it, go ahead. That's what God wants you to have. Praise God that you pull up in front of the church in it. That's wonderful. You pull up in it, I'm not worried about it. But if God called you to do something in the church, would it be that important to you? If God was calling you for $50 in your pocket, would you be willing to do it? It's all in the heart of our life today. The carnal mind is natural. People want it. They want bigger and better and all these things. And that was honestly one of the thoughts I had with this car. Man, there's a guy that's got something better than that car. Can you believe that? There's somebody out there that'd say, I got three of them. What are you worried about, right? It's just money. It's possessions. It's the things that's the carnal picture. I say all that for you this morning to consider the carnal mind that most of us live in today. God has so much more than that for the church today. God has so much more than anything that you could dream up in your life for faithful servants of the Lord. And He says as we'd walk after the Spirit, then we would know those things, right? And we would see these things. And part of that is to be spiritually minded, He says, is true life. Now that guy, he may be living life to the best of his ability. And you know what? I would probably go out on a limb and say he's living life pretty terribly. If you had a good conversation with him, he'd say it's a car. So what? I got it and I didn't. It's not what I wanted, right? I want something bigger. I want something better because that's the way we live today. What if in the life of the church this morning, we would get to a place in our hearts this morning where we were not content until we saw people getting saved with Jesus Christ? And we were not content until we had people getting baptized on a weekly basis in this church because they were getting right with Jesus Christ. And we as a church, we're so spiritually minded that every conversation we have this week would reflect the Savior that we say lives in our life. Every opportunity we have, and we say, well, sometimes we don't get those opportunities. I promise you, if you get up in the morning and pray that God will give you an opportunity, God will give you an opportunity. And provide a direction in somebody's life. There's a big distinction between the carnal mind that we live in today and the spiritual mind that God has called us to. As he says, the spiritual mind is life and it's peace. And isn't that what the world says they want? And the world finds peace in all of those things, right? We find peace in getting to this place where we can have a cure for all of these diseases. We can have all the answers for all the problems that we have in our world. And we'd have no war, and we'd have no struggle, and we'd have no difficulty. And if you read your Bible this morning, you would know that the Bible says that there's always going to be disease, there's always going to be war, there's always going to be struggle and pain until the Lord returns. So in the picture of the carnality of the world that we live in today, we as a church should never even imagine that we would have that place where there's not going to be those things, because the Bible says differently. We have to come to a place of recognizing the spiritual side of what God has called us to. Those are spiritual opportunities for God to work in people's lives. When we're in struggle and difficulty this morning, it's an opportunity for us as a church to be the church God's called us to be. To live spiritually minded. To set our hearts on the things of the Lord. To be carnally minded is death. He says in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Plain and simple. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh, look what he says, cannot please God. Now I wonder, in the heart of the church this morning, have you ever Just honestly stopped and wondered in your own life and had some time of reflection to determine whether or not your life today is pleasing to God? And as it is, does it even really matter? Because honestly, in the condition of the church that we see in our world today, the most oftentimes it's about what pleases me. What makes my life better? What makes me comfortable? Is it pleasing to God the way that I'm living my life today? And whatever way that is, we don't have time to go into all those things for you this morning, but I want you to pray about that. I want you to think about that this morning. Is your life today pleasing to God? And if it's not, don't look at me and I'm not going to look at you. It's not for me. It's for you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's for you to determine this morning, are you living in obedience to Jesus Christ? If you're living in obedience to Him today, then the Bible gives us some good indication to understand that if we're obedient to Jesus Christ, we're walking in fellowship with Him, then we're going to be pleasing and honoring to God. That brings us to this understanding this morning that if you're not obeying God 100% in your life today, then you cannot be pleasing to God. If you're not walking in the Spirit, the Bible says right there, plain and simple, we cannot do that, right? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're living for the flesh today, we are not pleasing God. That's what the Word of God says. What we take to heart in our lives this morning, if we're not pleasing to God, do we want to be? Is it a desire in your heart this morning to even please God? Is it something that we pray for? Is it something that we're encouraged in our life that we would want to be more pleasing to God? He says in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The expectation of the church this morning is that you would live in the life that God has given to you. If you've come to saving relationship with Jesus this morning, we ought to live in that life. That ought to be the driving force for our life this morning. The idea that God has called us to do something should not be foreign to us, and the desire for being obedient to that should be natural. When the Holy Spirit brings this thought in your mind, the Scripture uses the word unction. We talked about that this morning in Rocky Ford. If the Spirit brings an unction to your heart, that's a calling in your life. And you know that God's told you to do something? That's the opportunity to live that life. It's the opportunity to say, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what my husband says. It doesn't matter what my wife says. It doesn't matter what my children say. It doesn't matter what the church might say about it. If I know that God has called me to do this in my life, or you know that God has called you to something in your life, then you need to be obedient to do that. And when you know that it's according to the Word of God, then it's the Holy Spirit leading you. And I want to challenge you this morning. There's a big struggle today in Christian life. How do I know, right? That's the question you're asking. How do you know if it's the Spirit or not? If it's not in the Word of God and you can't find it in the Word of God, it's not of the Spirit, plain and simple. If the Spirit's calling you to do something, you can find evidence in Scripture that God's already told you to do it. That's when you know you better move. You better do what God has called you to do. But many of Christians today, we will gauge our life and the direction that God is calling us in based off of human nature. We'll base it off of other people's opinion. Not saying that the good counsel, it's important. Scripture talks about good counsel in others and brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think seeking out counsel from other brothers and sisters in Christ, leadership in the church, friends, family, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing as long as they're going to point you in the direction that the Word of God says. If they're pointing you in an opposite direction from what the truth of the Word of God is, we ought to be fearful of that. We ought to be leery of those things. But I wonder this morning in the heart of the church, if God is calling us in our life, and we honor God in those things, and we recognize what life is, and we know those things. He says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We don't know. We're not in walking in that relationship with him. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive under righteousness. There's a direction that God has for us. But in verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. He ought to quicken our bodies, quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. He's moving your spirit today. If you can't determine this morning, is the Holy Spirit moving in your life? Is the Lord leading and directing in your life to make a decision? You come to this thought in your heart and your life that we know that it's the Holy Spirit guiding us. He's leading us in these things. He's called us to something very specific. And the normal process for many of Christians today is to say, I know I heard that and I know I'm feeling that direction from the Lord, but, right? There's always that but. And we start listing out all the things that are going to take place. If we were willing to say yes to Jesus Christ today, then it means something different for me tomorrow. That's the hurdle that we're facing today in the church. That's the struggle that is going on in Christian lives day in and day out today. It's why churches and Christians are not moving in the direction God's called us to. We're trying to fit in the worldly things into our church and into our individual Christian lives and somehow find a place in Scripture where we can justify it. I challenge your heart this morning to walk in the Spirit. To live in the Holy Spirit that lives in your life. And if the Spirit is guiding you to do something, be willing to say yes. And know that it doesn't really matter what somebody else may say. You really consider today, if you look at the Scriptures, how many times the example that we see from Jesus Christ, the things that Jesus did while he walked on this earth were in contradiction to everything that the church and the religious people said was right. And it was in contradiction to what the world was comfortable with. Everything that we see Jesus do. You think about just the simple calling of the disciples that walked with Jesus on this earth. What did he ask them to do? Leave everything behind and follow me. That's what he asked him, right? I wonder this morning, in your heart and your life, if the Holy Spirit was calling in your life to leave your job and your family and everything else behind right now, would you follow Jesus? That's not possible. You can't do that, right? You say it's impossible. What did Jesus ask for them to do? Not to abandon their family, but to put him first. It's the same call that God has asked for us to do today. Not to abandon everything that he's put us in and the places that he's called us to, but to put him in first place. To put him in priority in our life and recognize that the most important thing that you could do for your family is to be obedient to Jesus Christ in your own life. Dads, the most important thing you could do for your family is put him first. Do what God's called you to do in your family so that your children see that you're doing what you're supposed to do. Moms, the most important thing you could do is be obedient to Jesus Christ so your children would see that you're obedient to Jesus Christ first. When you're obedient to Jesus Christ first, your relationship with your husband and your wife is going to be what God's called it to be. Church family, when God's calling you to do something in your life and your direction in your own individual life, the most important thing for you to do is be obedient to what he's called you to do. Marriages would be in the right place today if God was first. Relationships between parents and children would be in the right place today. Relationships in the body of Christ would be in the place they need to be today. Relationships in our community and in our business world would be in the right place if Jesus was first in our life. And the call that we see from these verses is that we would not live carnally and not live in the things of the world, but we would live in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says that he would quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you today. It brings us to this consideration this morning. If the Spirit is living in you and you have not heard from him lately, what's the problem? If you have not heard from the Holy Spirit, Scripture is very plain, very simple. The answer is very, very simple. If you have not heard from God recently, you're not listening to God. And most of the time we're not listening to God because there's something that's in our life that's keeping us from hearing the voice of God. And the Bible tells us very simply today, the thing that keeps us from hearing the voice of God is sin. Plain and simple. And that could be anything. I don't know what it is for you. I know what my sins are. I struggle with them every day. I know what my sins are. You know what your sins are. If you haven't heard from the voice of God, if you haven't felt the Spirit moving in your life today, and you can know, and you know without a doubt that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then there's a problem. That problem is sin. God speaks to every one of His children. You just consider just normal relationship process, right? If you decided today in your relationships with anybody, it doesn't matter if it's husband, wife, children, friends, family, co-workers, whatever it is, in any of your relationships today, you decided that you were only going to talk to that person once a week. What kind of relationship is that? What kind of communication do you have with somebody once a week? Pretty broken, right? What kind of communication do we have with the Holy Spirit that lives in us? What kind of relationship do we have with the Holy God that sent His Son to die on a cross for us? Well, I wonder this morning, in our hearts and our lives today as a church, if you've heard from God, why not do what He's asked you to do? If you haven't heard from God, then the call for the church is the same every single day. Get on our knees before God and confess that sin until we hear from God. Maybe you don't know what it is. You didn't realize today there are many a sins in our life today that we don't even have a clue about. Why? Because we dismiss them. We dismiss them so quickly as part of normal life, but we don't even want to talk about them. Those are the areas in your life today. I would say that most Christians today have first thought comes to your mind. Every one of you, when I said the word sin, something came to your mind. I don't doubt it. I know. That's just the way life works. Something came to your mind. Something that God has called you to do came to your mind, and you said right away again, nope, don't want to do that. Not going to do it. Already been down that road. Not going to go there. That's sin. It's disobedience to God. The church today, we've got to learn to live in the Spirit that lives in us. We want to see the movement of God in our homes and in our churches, in our families, in our communities. We want to see people come to get saved in the next couple of weeks so we can see some people get baptized and committed to the Lord. We've got to get serious in our lives today. Be committed to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You for Your Word and Your truth. Lord, I thank You for how You challenge our hearts in these words this morning. Or just to know and understand today, Lord, that it is so natural for us to live in that carnal mind and the things of this world. But Lord, we know that it is truly unnatural for us in our human nature to walk in relationship and fellowship with You. But Lord, we know from Your Word that You've determined in our hearts and our lives, if we confess our sin before You, we'll be right before You, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit comes into our life and guides us and leads us. And Lord, I pray this morning in this place as we're gathered together, Lord, that our hearts and desire would be, Lord, to be in right fellowship and relationship with You most of all. Lord, that we wouldn't be concerned with what anybody else might think or what anybody else might say, but that we would just be obedient to You this morning. Lord, You know every heart and every life in this room. Lord, You know every thought that's running through the minds of each individual today. Lord, You know the condition of our hearts and our sin situation. You know the holiness and the unholiness of our life. Lord, I pray this morning as Your church, Lord, that You would guide us. Lord, I pray in this time of invitation, Lord, if there's decisions that need to be made today in our hearts and our lives, that we would not leave this place till we've done what You've called us to do. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here in this room that has never accepted You as their personal Lord and Savior, they don't really know what it means to be led of You and led by Your Spirit because they've never asked You to be the Lord of their life. I pray that You'd help them to get up, Lord, out of their chair and walk down this aisle in this invitation and just express their desire to be saved today, to know You as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would know what it means to be obedient to You. Lord, that they might leave this place today in right fellowship and relationship with You and know the Spirit's direction in their life. Lord, for those of us that can say we've done that today, Lord, maybe there's other decisions that need to be made. Maybe we haven't taken the next step of obedience and followed You in believer's baptism. We need to do that. I pray You'd help somebody just get up and walk down this aisle and say, hey, I need to be baptized. Lord, that we could figure out the best time and situation for them. If it's waiting for a couple of weeks till we do that, then that's great. If it's doing it right now today, we'll do it, Lord. I pray You'd just help them to make a commitment to come and do what You've called them to do. Lord, maybe there's others in this place that just need to come and get on their knees and confess their sin before you. Lord, so they could hear from you again, that they might know what the direction is that you have for their life. Lord, maybe there's other things. You know every heart. You know every life. Lord, I pray this morning as your church that you'd help us to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. Lord, we're going to be careful to give you the praise. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. If you're going to use a hymnal, it's page number 300. Called you to do something, would you do it today? You just need to come and pray. This altar's open. You can come and pray. You don't have to talk to me. If you need me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. Need to make a decision today? Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you, Lord, for this body of believers that's gathered in this place this morning to worship you, to sing praise to you, to study your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your word would just fill our hearts and our minds today. And Lord, as we leave this place, that we be encouraged and strengthened. Lord, because we've been together and been in fellowship with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would guide us this week as we go out into the world. Lord, that we would really be spiritually minded this week. Lord, that every action and every thought and every idea that comes into our life, Lord, would be representative of the Savior that lives in our hearts. Lord, that we might be a testimony and a witness to the world around us this week. Lord, we thank you and we trust you and we ask these things in your name. Amen.